Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. Stay tuned. International news from the BBC World Service is coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris. And good Wednesday morning, everyone. China reported its April trade growth accelerated. Exports rose 14.7% over a year earlier, up from March's 10% growth. Imports gained 16.8%, up from the previous month's 14.1% rate. However, China imported 3.98 million metric tons of soybeans in April. That's down 18.4% when compared with a year earlier. And in the first 4 months of the year, imports fell for soybeans by 14.8% to 15.47 million tons. Meanwhile, China imported 770,000 metric tons of edible oils in April. That's up 51% compared with the same month last year. The two numbers jointly may suggest that China is still struggling with lingering concerns over its recent bird flu epidemic. Private exporters this morning say that they have sent 115,000 metric tons of soybeans to China for the 2013-14 marketing year. That 13-14 marketing year for soybeans will begin on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,029. Down 26 points. The NASDAQ, sitting at 3394, is down 2. The S&P 500 is 1624. It is down just over 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Leonard.
Weather conditions across the Midwest will actually trend in a better direction for getting field work accomplished once we finish out this work week. The rain that's expected to occur over the next couple of days across the Midwest will be the last of the more significant systems for a little while, and we may actually be able to go to anywhere from 3 to 5 days without precipitation across the Midwest after this passes. Thursday and Friday will be the wetter days. It looks like rain totals in general run a couple tenths of an inch to 3/4 of an inch, but there will be some totals in the 1 to 1 3/4 inch range possible. And most of the greater amounts of precipitation will occur from the extreme easternmost portions of southern Iowa and maybe northeastern Missouri through northern Illinois into parts of Ohio. Some of these areas will get enough additional precipitation to once again set them back in the drying trend and fieldwork opportunities for a little while, but there will be a better environment coming up shortly thereafter. We do expect anywhere from 3 to 5 days of dry weather to occur in all of the Midwest after Saturday morning, and we'll likely see the majority of the precipitation potentials holding off until later next week. The driest conditions in Iowa will last early from Saturday into at least Tuesday and maybe into Wednesday of next week. We may see something similar occur in parts of Illinois. The difference between the drier bias that's going to be setting up this coming week versus that of the drier biases that have occurred in the past is that the temperatures will be notably warmer and more supportive of accelerated drying rates across the region, and that should put us in a position where we can actually get into the fields more aggressively as we get toward the end of the extended period of drier weather. Temperatures in the afternoon today will still be fairly warm across the region, and that's ahead of the approaching frontal system and rainfall. We'll look for highs in the middle and upper 70s through the lower 80s across a big part of the central and eastern Midwest. We'll expect tomorrow, though, the temperatures to cool off a bit, with highs running mostly in those same areas in the 70s, still possibly over 80 degrees near the Ohio River. In the meantime, tomorrow afternoon, temperatures in the uppermost parts of the Midwest may drop into the 50s and 60s. We'll look for some of that cooler air to work its way into the heart of the Midwest as we move forward in time. So it looks like Friday afternoon, temperatures will be running in the upper 50s and 60s across a big part of the Midwest, with a few 70s in the west and extreme south. As we move on deeper into the weekend, It looks like the afternoon temperatures on Saturday and Sunday will be notably cooler for many areas, with only upper 50 and 60 degree highs expected for the majority of the region. And that's the period that we may also encounter a little bit of frost and some freezes occurring across parts of the Midwest. The low temperatures on Sunday and Monday mornings will dip down into the 30s easily, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see a couple of upper 20s pop up across some of the region. Most of the coldest conditions will be in the Great Lakes region, but we could see some chilly conditions that would be threatening to some of the winter wheat crop and early emerged corn, perhaps as far south as the northern part of Illinois, the north half of Indiana, and much of Ohio. The temperatures in these areas probably won't be any colder than 28, and most of the wheat crop is not far enough advanced to be seriously impacted by such conditions, but we would expect some burning of vegetative development and a setback in crop conditions in general. The same may occur for the few corn fields that have emerged. Temperatures will turn around and warm up as we go through the middle and latter parts of next week, and we'll likely see temperatures rebounding to the point where we see highs in the upper 70s and 80s again by the middle to latter part of next week. Precipitation prospects after this event coming up here to tomorrow and Friday will likely be somewhat limited until we get involved with the second half of next week, when a frontal system will cut through the Midwest again and bring us an opportunity for some showers and a few thunderstorms. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading in Kansas City. May wheat 772, up 2.25. July is 753.5, down 4.5. May wheat in Chicago 697.5, down 2. July 704, down 5. May corn 676, down 0.5. July 636.75, down 3.25. And December at 535, down 4.25. May soybeans 1477, up 13.5. July 1391, up 8.75. November at 1216.25, up 1.75. May soybean meal 420.20, up 390. July 406.80, up 350. May soybean oil 49.15, up 6. July 49.23, up 9. June live cattle 121.27.5, up 45. May feeders 136.80, down 7.5, and May lean hogs at 91.87.5, up 42.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
We have a WASDE report coming on Friday with the first estimates of the year for 13 and 14, and U.S. ending stocks for corn very close to 2 billion bushels. Is that why December corn has not been able to get any traction this week?
I think it has, and I also think that the deferred forecasts basically saying that one of these days we're going to get a nice open period, especially for the wetter areas, has been put some pressure on it as well. On top of that, as we've said over the last couple of weeks, the old crop, new crop spreads have dominated the trade almost more than the flat price has, as we realize that the old crop stocks or the old crop tightness is going to be basically satisfied by the new crop supply. The question is, when does that supply become available?
Another question is, when you look at that big ending stock estimate from the trade for the 13-14 that we'll see maybe from WASDE on Friday, you have to put in the carry-in as part of that number to get to that number from 12-13 to 13-14. And the question becomes, will USDA bite the bullet there and lower its carry in to a number that reflects what basis is doing?
It quite possibly could, but I think it's probably too soon to see that happen. We're seeing some tightness in some areas that you're seeing real crazy basis, but it'll probably take us into the summer months before they can actually make a true determination on what that carryout is and see really what the tightness are. Also, we'll get a quarterly grain stocks number at the end of June or at the end of the month, and that'll give us a better indication of what we've got as well.
What do you see in soybeans today?
Soybeans, I think we're basically waiting on CONAB's numbers for tomorrow morning, and I think the corn market's going to be looking at that as well for the double crop corn in Brazil. But the beans in general are saying that maybe wheat harvest might be a touch late, so the double crop beans may be a little slower in coming, or we may trim some acres there. I also think now that the corn planting is probably going to make some progress late next week, that's buoying new crop values a little bit. And the tightness in the old crop is definitely a material problem. We have heard that crushers, even in our area, are shutting down or not accepting beans after, I believe, the 10th of this week, and probably will not reopen until new crop beans become available. That's the longest shutdown period I've ever heard of.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace for you. May wheat in Chicago, 697 and a half down 2. July is 705 and a quarter down 3 and 3 quarters. May corn is 676 and 3 quarters up a quarter. July, 637 and 3 quarters down 2 and a quarter. And December at 534 and 3 quarters down 4 and a half. May soybeans are 1476 and a quarter up 12 and 3 quarters. July, 1393 and a quarter up 11. And November at 1218 up 3 and a half, not 3 and a quarter. May soybeans meal, 420.20 up 390. July is 407.80 up 450. May soybean oils 49.15 up 6. And July soybean oil is 49.24. It's up 10 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.